They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Fairfax Radio, joining us today, we have a gentleman from Florida called Greg Chumley. Greg is turning things around in his HOA. He bought a new house, and he's going to tell us all about it. Greg, welcome to On the Commons. We're really happy to have you here and happy to find out what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Tell us, you bought a house, and what happened?
I bought a house, and I had a pretty good start when I moved into this development. We got along fine with the people, didn't seem to have much problem, until one day somebody brought to my attention that they had asked the board to see their financials. We were talking at the pool, and the gentleman was saying that he had written a letter and asked to see the financials. And so they let him see the financials. And oddly enough, he was a certified public accountant. In fact, he was a forensic certified public accountant. But in any event, so they let him see the financials. And he uncovered some things that didn't seem kosher. And he was telling me about it. And the one thing that he followed up on after he examined the books and records is that he had asked the board if he could get a copy of the wages or compensation of each of the 8 employees that work for our association. And the board just steadfastly refused to give him that information. And he kept pressing them, and they finally just said, well, they're just not available. And when I heard that, that didn't sit well with me. I'm the type of person that I feel like a board, you know, shouldn't keep secrets from its members. So
it's your money, right?
I'm sorry?
It's your money, so you have a right to know what happens to it.
Absolutely. And so he is a Canadian, and he's a snowbird. And so he was planning on heading back to Canada. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm curious about this. And I said, you know, I think maybe when you go back, I'll pick it up and see what I can do. And so I just made the same request he did, a formal demand to see the financials, which they granted me. And I took a certified public accountant with me, and we weren't really looking to find anything. It was more of an excuse to get in there and see if they would reveal any salary statements, any kind of checks or anything that would involve the salaries of the employees. And so when we went to the property management company and began looking at the books and records, you know, we happened to mention to them, we'd like to see the checks that are written, the payroll checks that are written to the 8 employees. And they said, well, those are not available. They're done by a payroll company on the East Coast, which as you may know where I'm at, I'm on the west coast of Florida, and where they were really talking about was somewhere in Fort Lauderdale, which is on the east coast. And it's a company called Alpha Staff. And they said Alpha Staff is the one that takes care of all the payroll, and they manage the health insurance plan. Now, you have to remember, let's take a step back for a minute, because this is what really kind of got me going. On our 2014-2015 budget, which is a fiscal year, it doesn't end on December 31st. It ends sometime in between.
Okay.
So on our 2014-2015 budget, it shows that we pay $537,000 for payroll. And when I looked at that, the numbers just kind of didn't make any sense. I said, how could we possibly pay $537,000 for a certified public, certified association manager, which they call a CAM, and seven other employees, six of which were maintenance workers? I mean, it would have to be an enormous amount of money that these people were making. It just didn't make any sense. And so I called the Canadian, the one that started this, and asked him, did he see anything in his original examination of the records that where this added up? And he said, well, yes, he did, in fact. He said $391,000 went to salaries, $80,000 went to a health insurance plan, and the balance went to the payroll company for services. And I think, I forgot the math, but I think that if what was left over after the health insurance plan and the salaries was about $66,000. And I thought to myself, they give this company $66,000 a year to write two checks per month for eight employees? And so I said, well, that's it. And I made a formal demand legally for these records, and they refused steadfastly. They just will not turn that information over. And they use the excuse that in the law, under the Florida statutes, they use, in this law, they use both the term wages and compensation. And they said to me, Florida law does not allow or does not permit a homeowner to see an employee's wages. Now, wages are defined, not in this particular statute, but wages are defined generally. When you speak about wages, you're talking about the gross salary, either monthly, weekly, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the deductions, you know, the whatever Social Security they deduct and federal income tax, and you can see their Social Security number and their personal home address and all that. That, to me, is the definition of wages. But it also says in the Florida law, very specifically, in fact, they even make a point of it, to say this law does not apply in when it comes to compensation. A homeowner is permitted to see the gross annual compensation of an employee. Now, what that means is that the compensation just means a dollar amount. In other words, so-and-so makes $36,500 a year. That's all we're going to tell you, and that's all we're permitted to tell you.
And that's the gross.
And they would be right.
And that's the gross. That's the gross, Greg, right?
I'm sorry?
That's the gross that you're allowed to see.
Yeah.
So,
in other words, that's what I'm entitled to see under the law. But
okay.
But they're arguing that compensation means wages. And so I don't know why they're willing to, they've already spent several thousand dollars of the association's money fighting me on this. When if you read the law, it's just, I mean, and you can read the law on a website that I have,
mm-hmm.
which we'll talk about later. But when you read the law, it's as clear as the nose on your face. I mean, the law is clearly on my side. It clearly says that a homeowner is entitled to see the compensation of any employee who works for the association. And so I just they just kind of pushed me the wrong way, and I just said, I don't care what this is going to cost. I have the money for one thing. I will spend an unlimited amount of money. If it takes $100,000, I'll spend it just for the principle to beat these people, because I don't like secrets being kept from the board, especially when I'm entitled to know this information.
So are you on the board? Are you on the board?
I've made it my life's mission that I'm going to get this compensation figures at any cost.
Are you on the board, Greg?
No.
Okay.
I'm just a homeowner.
So does the board have this information, or is it?
They do.
They do have the information. Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Because quite often things are withheld from the board as well.
Well, you have to remember that this company called Alpha Staff is the one, a payroll company, is the one that actually handles their payroll for you.
Yes.
For them. But, you know, any reasonable person would have to acknowledge that each month when they pay these people and they make a premium payment on their health insurance plan and they pay their wages, that they're going to send the board a bill so that they can get reimbursed plus the charges for their services. And they have to give them an accounting, and they have to issue 1099s and that sort of thing. So the board knows, and the board has a secretary treasurer that's been on the board for 16 years.
Okay.
So, and, you can't tell me that he doesn't know what their salaries are. Of course he knows.
You know, I would say that some would know, but some probably really don't know. They're probably told, hey, you can't have it. And they go, oh, okay, I didn't know that. So, you know, you're the professional. You handle it. Are you given an annual budget? I mean, they're supposed to, every association is supposed to prepare a budget.
Yes, it's published in the post office. I mean, it's published and it's posted in the post office Now, what I mean by that is, in our development, we have our own post office with P.O. boxes because we have 850 homes, and we don't have a mailman that goes around and delivers to all 850 homes.
Oh.
And in that post office, they also have bulletin boards that are behind, that are covered with glass, a glass door that they lock. And they'll post the annual budget that you can look at, and then if you want a copy, you can just go to the administration office and ask for a copy, and they will give you one.
Okay, so it is made public, and what does it say about compensation? What does it say about salaries?
It just says employees, $537,000.
So that's just it, the grand total.
Yeah, which includes what they lump in. And this is something I had to pry out of the certified association manager, is that they lump in the health insurance plan. They lump in the fee that the company charges, or the payroll company charges them, and they lump in the salary. So it's all lumped together, and it all totals $537,000. Now, going back to the Canadian again, he's the one who first started all this. He is the one, I guess, because maybe he has more experience than my certified public accountant. He is the one that uncovered the breakdown, which was $391,000 for salaries, $80,000 for a health insurance plan, and the balance, which I believe is somewhere around $60,000 to $66,000, was the fee that the payroll company charges to write these checks and to manage that health insurance plan. And I find it odd, that they would have a payroll company who would handle a health insurance plan for the employees. And I think that the reason they did that is they wanted to make sure that there was no paper trail or there was no easy way for somebody to find out what kind of plan they have.
66,000 a year seems a little excessive, doesn't it, for services?
Yes, a little bit. Because when you divide 66,000 by, if you take two checks a month, that would be, for eight people, that would be 16 checks a month times 12. I don't know exactly how many that would be, but it, you know, it'd be a little over 100 checks, I imagine. For $66,000, it's a little bit ridiculous, I think. So somebody is, I don't know. I don't want to make any accusations over the airways, but that's just not kosher to me. That doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, it's less than 200 checks a year that you're writing.
Yeah.
That's for compensation. That's not for health care. But I imagine you don't do two a month for health care. So say 200. But,
yeah,
you know,
per check.
But nowadays, don't computers do that?
Yes, well, it's all done by computer. And
so you just push the button and print, right?
Any of your listeners, and I'm sure there must be many, own businesses or have owned businesses,
right,
where they've used the services of a payroll company.
Right.
And generally, those fees for payroll runs and they go by percentage, and it averages somewhere between a low of 12 to a high of about 15-16%, and this is way beyond those figures.
Well,
and so I've actually asked the board, why would you spend $66,000 to write such few checks a year? And of course, you know, there has never been a question in the year and a half that I've been here. There has never been a question that I've asked the board, and I have asked hundreds of questions, that I've ever got an answer to.
They don't want to tell you, huh?
No. And they just, you know, their attitude is, sue me. So I did.
So you took them to... We're talking to Greg Chumley, who lives in Naples, Florida, and has been finding out that HOAs are quite secretive, and they're especially secretive when it comes to his money and everybody else's money, and they don't want to share that information. So it's a lot of people, Greg, call them the ATMs of the HOAs. You know, homeowners are the ATMs. An HOA needs money, they just go in and take more.
Yeah, that's very true.
So just push the button and up it comes. And I don't think the ATM's going to charge you $66,000 to give them the checks. But what about direct deposit? I mean, surely a lot of people have direct deposit.
Well, you know,
that will go through the bank.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that is exactly what they do.
Oh, it is? So is
the payroll company makes direct payroll deductions to the employee's bank, and they do that so that there's no paper trail.
So there are no canceled checks. I mean, you don't get canceled checks anymore, but so there's no... So it's...
Right.
Everything is being...
Let me just say this before I forget.
Okay.
One of the reasons that they did, actually, when I said they never have given me an answer to anything, they did give me a somewhat of an answer to the reason why they don't want to share this information. And the best that they could come up with was that they don't want each of the eight employees to know what the other makes. And I look at it like, well, that's not right. You know, I mean, even if you were just to take that excuse and that excuse alone for face value, that's not right. I mean, if you work for a company, now it might work on Wall Street where they're paid under, you know, by commissions or something, and they make millions of dollars and maybe perhaps you don't want one knowing what the other one makes. But who would want to work for a company where they have an agreement that says that you're not allowed to know what the other person makes?
Actually, I wouldn't. Actually, a lot of companies do that. Because if you and I work for the company, for the same company, and we do essentially the same thing, and I discover that you're making twice as much as I am, I'm liable to go to the company and say, hey, how come Greg's making this much more money than I am and we're doing the same job? Because the company is not in there to give you the money. They're in there to be a business, right? I think the government has, it's more of an open thing. You have this rating. But I think private companies typically do keep that information quiet.
It's true. But, you know, we are talking at the level of a homeowners association.
This is a whole
employees.
This is a whole different thing. You're paying their salaries and you have a right to know.
Absolutely.
What
and
you're
you know
paying
what?
Them.
And you know what? I could care really, to be honest with you, the $537,000 is a lot of money. That's true. But to be perfectly honest with you, I really don't care what any of them make. I really don't. What bothers me is why the board will not reveal what they're making. Why are they keeping it a secret when you just said it's my HOA fees that are paying their salaries and I have a right to know? And that's, in fact, when I was at the forensic audit of their books and records with my CPA, I was attended by the association town manager and one board member. I guess they have to witness, you know, you going through the boxes and so forth.
They don't want you to steal anything, Greg.
Yeah. And, well, not to get sidetracked, but you would think that if you request information, which you're entitled to know, they shouldn't make you go on a hunt or a search through hundreds of boxes to find the information. They should just be able to pull it out and provide you with the information that you requested. I mean, that's my opinion. But in any event, when we were there conducting the examination, the board member, there was one board member there, he asked me, he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, what would you do with the information, the compensation information of the 8 employees, even if you got it? And I says, I would let everybody know in our association what they are. And he said, well, why would you do that? And I said, because they're entitled to know it. And he just looked at me like I was some alien from another planet, or I was, you know, really trying to stir up. Because I look at it like, if they're keeping this secret, what else are they keeping?
That's a good question. What else are they hiding?
Why
is it when you ask a simple question that you are entitled to know the answer to? Why is it that they tend to get super defensive and very suspicious of you? Why are you doing this? Why would you do a thing like this?
And I still don't understand. It just baffles me why they would keep this information secret. And I would like to ask your listeners if they would put this to the test and just ask their association board in the form of a letter or an email or however they want to do it. And use the term compensation. Don't use the term wages. Just say, would you mind telling me what the compensation, the gross annual compensation of our X number of employees are? And let's see how many will tell them, and let's see how many won't tell them, because this may be a problem that's that a lot of boards, you know, I mean, this may be an issue that a lot of boards are keeping secret from their membership, and it still baffles me as to why. I don't know why they would.
Greg, in Virginia, I don't remember the exact year, but I'm going to say sometime
around 19, we're looking at the early 1990s. There was a guy by the name of Joe Grillo who I knew very well. And he lived in an upscale high-rise condominium in Alexandria, Virginia called the Antebellum Condominiums.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked for the aggregate salary of the employees. I mean, it's a big building, a big condominium, and I don't know how many people they had. And, of course, they wouldn't let him have it, so he had deep pockets, and he sued, and he won. And back a number of years ago in Virginia, the law was changed to say that the owners, and it was a Supreme Court decision, by the way. And
a state Supreme Court or a United States Supreme Court?
No, a state Supreme Court, a Virginia Supreme Court. And so the Virginia legislature enacted legislation saying that the homeowners had the right to get information, salary information, because they were paying it.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So this is not something new. You say you're trying to test it and you want everyone to test it, but this has been going on for 20 plus years. People have been saying, hey, how much of my salary, how much of my assessments are going towards paying for these salaries? What is it costing me to live here? Of course, nobody wants them to know the answer. So they're kind of stuck with that. But no, you're right. I mean, ask for it. You have an absolute right to know what you're paying. Greg, have you ever done sort of a percentage of how much your assessments are from everybody in the association? X number of dollars. What percentage of that goes to salaries and compensation? And have you tracked it for a few years to see if that percentage has gone up?
No, and I'll tell you why. I mean, I have thought about it, but any time that you take an expense of an association, unless it's in the million, because I'll give you an example. In our association, we have 850 homeowners. Now, if somebody out there has a calculator, because unfortunately I'm in a position right now where I don't have any office supplies at all as we speak. But if you took $537,000 and divided it by 850, it really wouldn't be, and our association fees now are $1,100 a quarter. And it, you know, I don't know how much it would be, but let's just say it would be $30 per homeowner. And that's the way, unfortunately, homeowners tend to look at things. That they don't look at the systemic problem or something that might be going awry. They just look at, well, you know, it's only $30. Who cares? And I don't know why this chumbly character is making such a big deal over the salaries. These are few of the homeowners that are saying this. And that's the problem. I mean, I could have put that information out. And I said, do you realize that we're paying $30 a quarter for our employees? And, you know, you just wouldn't have registered.
No, okay. Okay, you say $1,100 a quarter. That's $4,400 a year times 800 and however many homeowners you have. That's
850.
You take whatever that sum comes up to. Is it 10% that goes to salaries, 15%? And if you track it over the years, which is something that we did, and I live in an association with 1,300 homes, so it's a little bit bigger than yours. But
yeah,
we tracked it over the years, and it just seemed like the one thing that kept going up. It started off like 20% of the entire budget went to compensation, and then the next year it was like 23, and then it was 26, and then it was 30, and then, you see where I'm going with this?
So I do.
Bigger
I do,
chunk.
And I think that
it's not $30.
I think the problem is let me break the employees down and maybe we get a better understanding of this. Our town manager, which is the certified association manager, CAM, we all believe, and it's just a belief, an assumption, that he makes $150,000 a year. To everybody that lives here, that would be shocking. Because there are websites, and anybody can just Google the average salary for a certified association manager in zip code 34109. And there is a website that'll come up, and it'll tell you that information. They track that information on different professionals. And, you know, another thing that you should know is that CAMs, Certified Association Managers, are governed and licensed by the state. So they do have a license, just like a dentist or, you know, or a contract. They are controlled by them, and I guess they collect this information somehow from, I don't know how they do it, but in any event, so I went onto this website, and in 34109, in zip code 34109, the average salary for a CAM was $57,000. That's another thing that they don't want the 850 people to know. And our CAM was personally hired by our president, who is up for re-election this March, who is about to be re-elected unless I can stop him, which I'm doing everything possible to do that. He will be serving his 9th term if he's re-elected. And he hired this CAM himself in 2007. So what they paid the CAM prior to 2007, I have no idea. And I'll give you some more math kind of quizzes that your listeners can play with. Just take $391,000 and divide it any way you like. Just play with the numbers any way you want. Take $391,000 and divide it by 8. And then you'll realize that, well, you know, the 6 maintenance workers and 1 secretary couldn't possibly be making that kind of money. And so then you got to figure, well, let's say they're all making $30,000 to $35,000 a year. Assign them some kind of a reasonable salary. And whatever is left over goes to the CAM, because the known fact is the $391,000. And no matter how you play with these numbers, the CAM is actually making more than $150,000. Because you're not going to pay a maintenance worker or a cleaning lady $45,000 a year, plus health insurance. And so it just does, the figures just don't add up. So I think the biggest secret of all is what they want to keep secret is the CAM's astronomical salary.
And you have the statutory authority to get that information, correct?
I do, absolutely. It, luckily for me, the Florida statute, 720.303, is absolutely 100% on my side. It clearly states, that I am entitled to the gross annual compensation of any employee that works for the association, but it also clearly states that I'm not entitled to wages. But one has to interpret, but what they mean by wages is that I can't look at their 1099s where I can see their deductions. I can't look at their how much Social Security they took out, how much federal income tax they took out. I can't look at their Social Security number. I can't look at their personnel file. But I am entitled, and it clearly states it just in plain English, that I am entitled to see the gross annual compensation of each employee. And I'm going to fight them till hell freezes over. I don't care how long it takes or how much money it costs. I'm going to get the salaries, and when I do, I'm going to mail those salaries to 850 homes, and I'm going to say, now this is the big secret that they've been keeping from you.
Put an ad up. You heard that right here on The Commons.
Yeah.
Coming to you from Fairfax, Virginia, and we're talking to Greg Chumley, who's in sunny Florida, and I'm sure it's a lot warmer down there. All right, Greg, so you're determined that you're not going to let anyone or anything get in the way of you getting the information that you are entitled to. So you have decided that you're going to sue your association to get that information because they're not being nice to you and they're not giving you that stuff, right?
Right.
So tell us about your lawsuit.
Well, in Florida, this all happens in small claims court. I don't know why. You can do it in civil court, but it's a lot more expensive. But the law provides that you can do it in small claims court. Maybe not every state allows that, but in Florida they do. And there's a statutory fine in Florida statute 720.303 that says that for every day that they fail to not give you the information you requested after 10 days have passed, you're entitled to $50 a day up to 10 days. So, and on the 11th day is when you have to take the next step. So you're automatically entitled to $500 in addition to the information that you're seeking. And so, but in Florida provides that before you can actually sue an association, you have to go to mediation. And I want to be clear on this. It's not arbitration. It's mediation, where you hire a certified county mediator. You have to search these people out. You have to find out their hourly rate, whether they will, you know, mediate for you. You have to gather at least five. I gathered six, just to be sure. And you have to put this in, put these five or six mediators in a letter. And you first have to send out a letter to the registered agent, which is normally the attorney for the association, mm-hmm. and saying, I'm making a demand to go to mediation, pre-suit mediation, and we're going to mediate you handing over this information. And, of course, we all know that the attorney is not going to give me anything at mediation because if they were going to give me anything at mediation, they would save themselves a lot of trouble and money and just give it to me now. And so what happens is that the mediator, now I'm speaking hypothetically, the mediator, once he or she determines that you're getting nowhere and mediation is just not happening, they're not moving and you're not moving. And when he shuts the whole thing down, he issues me a report. If I take that report and I attach it to my small claims court filing, and I make a small claims court action with that report attached, that I've met the law, I've gone to mediation, the mediation turned up no results, and so now I'm filing the suit. And I'm claiming $500 in statutory fines that I'm entitled to, plus I'm asking the court to compel the association to turn over the information that I'm seeking. And unfortunately, that's the process in Florida. It may be different in other states, but you can't just go directly to court. You have to mediate first. And to me, it's, you know, if this were about money and money only, if that's what I was after, if I was just suing my association for money, I could see where mediation might help, because then you could sit there with a mediator and you could bargain back and forth as to what you would accept.
That's the big thing. That's the big thing, is you're negotiating right there.
Yeah. And but when you're talking about turning over salaries, what are they going to mediate?
I was going to say that's a right. So your rights are non-negotiable. You have the right to get that information.
Exactly. And a mediator, by the way, has no authority to interpret a statute. The mediator cannot look at me or the association's lawyer and say, well, the way I look at this statute, you know, the association is correct. He's not allowed to do that because he's not a judge and he's not a lawyer. Right. Some mediators are lawyers, but they have no authority to interpret a statute. Only a judge can do that. So he's just there. And, you know, the way I handle it is that I just said, I want the annual compensation of the eight employees. And the attorney, you know, tried to come up with some statutes from condominium association laws and so forth. And I just repeated it to the mediator. I said, I want the annual compensation of the eight employees. And every time the attorney would say something, that would be my answer. I want the compensation of the eight employees. And
good for you.
And so the mediator was getting a little, you know, not irritated, but he could see where this was going, that I wasn't moving an inch.
Yeah.
Like, it was like you were being interrogated as a prisoner, and you're just stating your name and your,
uh-huh.
you know, and maybe your social security number or something, and that's all you're giving up.
Yeah.
And so, and I even asked the attorney, I said, you know, if you're not going to give me the salaries here at mediation, then who is to say that you're going to give them to me in court? You know, because if you're going to give them to me, I mean, why go through this charade?
Because he makes
Why
money.
Not just turn him over?
Because he makes money. The longer...
Exactly.
This is...
$375 an hour, to be exact.
Okay. So that is exactly why he's not going to give it to you. That's exactly why he's going to take this and he's going to run it as long as he possibly can. He's going to squeeze every dime out of the association that he can.
Right, right.
So it's not...
And they've already spent thousands of dollars fighting this.
Your money.
And probably will spend thousands more before it's finally over with.
And you're entitled to that.
And what it's all going to come down to is they're just going to look like fools because, you know, what's going to happen is I can't imagine the judge not compelling them to turn over the information when the law is just crystal clear, crystal clear. Anybody who's listening to this that has any interest in it can go to this website that we'll talk about, or they can just Google Florida Statute 730-303, and it's under Section 5.
Give me that again.
730.303.
730.303.
And it's under Section 5.
Okay.
I think it's Section 53A. Or five, no, I'm sorry, 53C, I believe. But in any event, you can see that it says, and the law even goes out of its way to make a point that says, to paraphrase, it says, oh, and by the way, you know, this does not apply to the annual compensation of an employee. Because the law is talking about what you're not entitled to see. But it says, by the way, this does not apply to compensation, only to the things that we've just talked about. And so they make an extra point to tell you that. And so there's just no way that the judge can say that he's right and I'm wrong. There's just no way. And I just don't know why they're pursuing it, because they're pursuing a losing battle.
Because it makes money for the attorney. That's what it comes down to. And your board members, you know, the attorneys are going to scare the board members, and they're going to say, you know, somebody might sue you personally. Well, that's not going to happen, because they're indemnified. So the attorneys are going to play this game, and they're going to run it out until they have squeezed every penny that they can out of this particular battle. And then they're going to find another one and do the same thing.
That's true.
What it's all about. That's the one thing that you can take to the bank, by the way, and they probably won't charge you $66,000 to put it in your account.
I want to bring your listeners up to speed on something that they're probably not familiar with when it comes to attorneys and associations. There is an organization called the...
Community Associations Institute.
Communities Association Institute. And a lot of times, especially in my development, we have a big sign. I mean, the board tries to make a big deal out of it, that our association has won Best Community Association of the Year award twice in a row.
Can I tell you my theory about that? Can I tell you my theory about
sure.
that, Greg?
Absolutely.
Every time I see a big sign outside someplace, do a little digging. You're going to find that there was something crooked going on in that association, and they're doing this to cover it up and to bolster the association.
Yeah.
CAI is going to do that. They'll do condominiums and they'll do homeowner associations. And every time there's something really, really nasty that goes on, CAI will award them the Community Association of the Year, the Week, or the Month, or whatever. And you can bet your bottom dollar that something is not kosher. Something stinks underneath. And that's just my opinion. You can see how much I really, really trust these people, right?
Well, let me just quickly explain that to your listeners. There's a little bit more to it than that.
Okay.
The Community Associations Institute is a lobbying organization.
Right.
And what they do is it's a lot like the NRA in a way, only different, but it's similar in nature. what they do is they write legislation, they draft legislation that gives all of the power to the boards and almost, well, as little power as possible to the homeowners. And they make up these template pieces of legislation. And they go around to all 50 states and they try to get them to adopt this particular set of legislation. And, you know, most states will adopt them almost word for word. Some of them will change certain things. But this organization is not what it appears to be. I mean, it's a, what would you say, a fox in sheep's clothing?
Something like that.
And something like that. And a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I'll give you another example. The other day, in fact, they made a big deal out of that our community association manager won the community association manager of the year by the Community Association Institute. And the reason I bring this up is that
funny.
If any of your listeners ever have anything to do with an attorney involving their association, the first question out of their mouth should be to that attorney is, are you a member of the Community Association Institute? And if he says yes, you should get out of that office just as quickly as your legs will carry you. because you're talking to a wolf. It's like the fox guarding the hen house, you know.
You're absolutely right. And all you have to do is go on their website, and quite often they'll have CAI listed as one of the organizations that they belong to. But there are some attorneys out there who are not members of CAI. They represent associations.
Oh, I understand, sure.
So ask them, and even if they're not members of CAI, if they represent associations, I personally think, and I've had a lot of arguments with a lot of attorneys on this issue, I personally think there's a huge conflict of interest because they're there to churn things in to create the problems that are going to generate the lucrative lawsuits that's going to make them money and send their kids to, you know, expensive schools and buy them their expensive cars and do all of that. So be very, very careful who you hire. The problem is there are very few attorneys who really understand this that are not representing associations.
And your listeners should also be aware that anybody can belong to this organization.
Yes.
And most certified association managers, or what some people call town managers, or CAM, also belong to this organization, as do ours. And some board members can belong to this organization. Now, if any of your listeners find out that any of their board members are a member of this organization, or their CAM is a member of this organization, then I can tell you that they have no really true, honest representation whatsoever. None. Because these people are working against you. They're not trying to help you. Just by being a member of that organization.
Okay. Let's take that one step further. But if you're a CAM, a certified association manager, or a professional CAM, a PCAM, professional community association manager, you are usually, those credentials are given to you, are earned through CAI. So they had in their code of ethics that if you no longer pay dues to CAI, you lose your accreditation. I think they've changed that because we brought it to their attention, but they were pushing. Everybody was pushing. You have to have a professional. You have to have someone who's certified. You have to have. So CAI is the organization that actually certifies these people and provides the training and teaches them how to hide the banana, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they have to continually pay CAI because they have to be members to maintain their accreditation.
That's true, but I want to make one thing clear. The word certified, or the phrase certified association manager, is not a copyrighted symbol of the Community Associations Institute, because the state of Florida, under their Board of Professional...
Who does the training, Greg?
Something regulations. The people who control anybody that holds a license in Florida.
Who does the training?
That's what they call... I mean, they call a certified association manager a certified association manager.
Okay.
And that's what they label it. Regardless if he's a member of the of that institute or not. So I just wanted to say, I mean, I wanted to be clear on that, that just because one refers to one as a CAM or a certified association manager doesn't necessarily mean he's automatically a member of that organization. But I do get your point.
You're right. Certified, and CAIs is a community association manager, and theirs is a CAM, or a professional community association manager, a PCAM. And these are different designations that are accreditations that are given to them that are earned through CAI.
Now you may be right on the word. If you use the word certified association manager, you might be right on that. But in the state of Florida, they call it, as far as the regulatory board, they call it community association manager.
Okay, check and see where their accreditation came from. Just because DPOR in Florida calls them that, check and see who credits them and who administers the testing. There may be a difference between a certified association manager and a community association manager. But check on that, because I think if you unravel things or peel the onion back far enough, you'll find CAIs in there someplace.
Yeah.
You'll find
I know that the Community Association Institute has a website, but you cannot look up the membership unless you join.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it costs anything to join.
It might be
free.
No. They charge. They want the money. Look, Greg, it's a $65 billion annual industry. They're not going to give you anything for free.
Oh, okay. Trust
me.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an enormous... Well, you can imagine if that's the case, that reflects on the size of the problem.
Right. Absolutely.
Because, you know, I think it would baffle somebody who could try to even attempt to guess the number of homeowners associations there are in the United States.
They have all that information. That you can get for free on CAI's website. I think it's 130,000. You can get that information for free. They have the stats for all of that, and that is available. They're used to in the old
days.
Well,
I know one thing. Your listeners can take this to the bank. Is that once that institute becomes aware of my new website, they're not going to like me very much, and I wonder what they're going to do to try to intervene somehow, or maybe try to take that site down or whatever, because what I'm showing on this website is a step-by-step method to sue your association without a lawyer and as cheaply as it can be done.
All right, why don't you give us the website, Greg, because we are running out of time.
Okay.
So let's make sure that everybody has. I will put it in my promo as well, but give us the website.
Well, it's naturally the three W's. It's www.sueyourhoacheaply.com. SueYourHOAcheaply.com. And it could not be any easier to... I mean, I created this... even all of the text and all of the pages are in large, bold type where seniors can read it without any problem. And I think a 10-year-old managed to sue an HOA by following the instructions. Maybe not a 10-year-old, but certainly... anybody in junior high school
in Florida
even though we don't know how to vote down here, but we do know a few things. and it's really, really simple.
Okay, Greg, we are out of time. Good luck with that. Please keep us posted. Let us know how you do.
Well, maybe I was suggesting, let's say, 3 months. Let's get together again, and I'll let you know exactly how it turned out.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.